الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام أبو جعفر الطحاوي المصري رحمه الله تعالى: هذا ذكر بيان عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة على مذهب فقهاء الملة أبي حنيفة النعمان بن ثابت الكوفي وأبي يوسف يعقوب بن إبراهيم الأنصاري وأبي عبد الله محمد بن الحسن الشيباني رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين، وما يعتقدون من أصول الدين ويدينون به لرب العالمين.
Can you hear me? The author, may Allah have mercy on him, Abu Ja'far al-Warraq al-Tahawi from Egypt, may Allah grant him mercy, said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name of Allah, the merciful to the believers and non-believers in this world, and the merciful to the believers only in the next world. This is an elucidation of the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is in accordance with the doctrine of the scholars of Islam, Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man ibn Thabit al-Kufi, Abu Yusuf Ya'qub ibn Ibrahim al-Ansari, and Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. May Allah reward them all for their deeds. It refers to what they believe of the fundamental articles of the religion and of what they submit to the Lord of the worlds. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: نقول في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله إن الله واحد لا شريك له. الشرح: السنة المراد بها هنا الطريقة.
هذا معنى السنة في قول أبي جعفر الطحاوي رحمه الله تعالى: هذا ذكر بيان عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. أيش يعني السنة؟ السنة معناه طريقة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وأصحابه، فالسنة يراد بها هنا الطريقة. In the terms of أبو جعفر الطحاوي, in the Arabic terms, he used the term as-sunnah. He said, هَذَا ذِكْرُ بَيَانِ عَقِيدَةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ. He mentioned that he is clarifying in this booklet the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. What is meant by as-sunnah? As-sunnah in this context refers to the way. So Ahlul Sunnah means those who follow the path, the way, the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, of course.
فَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ هُمُ الْمُتَمَسِّكُونَ بِعَقِيدَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَصْحَابِهِ. والجماعة المراد به في هذا الموطن جمهور المسلمين.
هلا قال أهل السنة والجماعة. الجماعة مقصود بهم أغلب المسلمين. جماعة المسلمين لأن غالب المسلمين لا يخرجون عن سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن طريقته في كل الأزمان سواد الأمة أغلب الأمة جمهور الأمة أغلب المسلمين لا يخرجون عن طريقة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, الإمام الطحاوي talked about أهل السنة والجماعة. What does the word? So we knew السنة means the path, the way. What does الجماعة means? الجماعة means the majority. So always, all that in all the different times, all the different eras, the majority of the Muslims are adhering on the level of the creed to the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They adhere to the creed of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. They do not deviate from the creed of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. لو ضل أناس وخرجوا عن عقيدة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام دائما يبقون من بين من ينتسب إلى الإسلام هم الأقل والأغلب على عقيدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even if some people deviate, some people who claim to be Muslims, who claim to be following the path of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Even if some people deviate from the creed of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, most of those who say about themselves that they are Muslims, most of those people adhere to the creed of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. Always those who deviate are the minority in all the times, in all the times. وشاهد الحال يشهد بذلك. And if you check the situation of the Muslims nowadays, you will find that this is the case. إذا نظرت في المسلمين في الأرض تجد أغلبهم على عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. If you check the situation of the Muslims in the different countries, you will find that most of the Muslims adhere to the creed of أهل السنة والجماعة. This is the case now. This is how it was, and this is how the case will be in the future, inshallah ta'ala. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned that in his hadith. مثلا اليوم من الفرق التي لها شهرة في أيامنا وخرجت عن عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة الوهابية. إذا نظرت في الوهابية في الدنيا كم يكونون؟ 4 ملايين، 5 ملايين. أهل السنة أكثر من 1,000,000,000، فهم قلة بالنسبة لأهل السنة. For example, if you take, for example, the Wahhabis, this is a faction that deviated from the creed of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Despite all their effort, despite all the support that they get, despite all the money that they get to spread their deviated ideas, how many people are they? 3 million? 4 million? 5 million? The Muslims among Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, are more than 1,000 millions. So always Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the majority of the Muslims. Always. And likewise, other factions. Maybe some factions, their numbers reach maybe 40 million, 50 million. Compared to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are still a minority, because Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are more than 1,000 millions in the different countries.
جمهورهم ثبتوا على ما كان عليه الصحابة من حيث المعتقد ولم يخرجوا عنه.
عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة في هذه الأيام مثل عقيدة الذين كانوا قبلهم إلى أيام الصحابة. The creed of أهل السنة والجماعة nowadays is the same of their ancestors among أهل السنة والجماعة, and it is the same creed of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يقول الطحاوي إن هذه الرسالة هي ذكر عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة على حسب ما قرره أبو حنيفة وأبو يوسف يعقوب بن إبراهيم وأبو عبد الله محمد بن الحسن الشيباني, أي من حيث سبق العبارات أضع هذه الرسالة على أسلوب هؤلاء الأئمة الثلاثة. أما من حيث المعنى فهو مذهب أهل الحق أهل السنة والجماعة كلهم بلا استثناء.
طيب, إذا كان أبو جعفر إيش يقول؟ يقول هذا ذكر بيان عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة, يعني أنا أذكر في هذا الكتاب عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة كلهم. ثم أتبع ذلك بقوله على مذهب فقهاء الملة أبي حنيفة النعمان بن ثابت الكوفي وأبي يوسف يعقوب بن إبراهيم الأنصاري وأبي عبد الله محمد بن الحسن الشيباني. طالما هو يذكر عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة كلهم, لماذا خص هؤلاء بالذكر؟ ما خصهم بالذكر لأن هؤلاء لهم عقيدة خاصة مخالفة لأهل السنة, إنما لأن هؤلاء الثلاثة لهم أسلوب خاص في الكلام عن عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. أبو جعفر تبع أسلوبهم في الكلام, وإن كانت عقيدتهم هي نفس عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة من غيرهم. لذلك قال على مذهب فقهاء الملة, ذكر هؤلاء الثلاثة أبا حنيفة وأبا يوسف ومحمد بن الحسن, لأنه يذكر عقيدة أهل السنة كلهم لكن على أسلوب من؟ على أسلوب وطريقة هؤلاء الثلاثة من الأئمة. أبو جعفر الطحاوي mentioned in his creed that he is going to present the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This means that he is presenting the creed of all Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then he mentions three among them. He mentions Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, he mentions the two students of Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. So if he is mentioning, if he is presenting the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, all of them, why then, after saying that, he specifies these three, Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan? This is not because these three have a creed that differentiates, that differs from the creed of Ahlus Sunnah. Rather, this is because those three scholars, great scholars, have a special way in tackling this subject. in talking about the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So what Abu Ja'far did is that he followed their way in talking about the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So as far as the content, what they say, Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf, and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, is exactly what other people among Ahl Sunnah say. But they have their own style in presenting the creed of Ahl Sunnah. Abu Ja'far is following their style. That's why he mentioned, he specified them. So they didn't come with something different, a different creed. It's their style that Abu Ja'far chose to follow in presenting the same creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this is why he mentioned that he is following their path. That is, he is using their style to present the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
سماهم أبو جعفر الطحاوي فقهاء الملة وأراد بالملة ملة الإسلام فإنه لما وقف على مذهبهم في الأصول والفروع ووجده موافقا للقرآن والسنة المشهورة وإجماع الصحابة والبراهين العقلية سماهم فقهاء الملة رحمهم الله وأثابهم الجنة.
Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi called these three scholars the scholars of Islam. Why is that? Because when he checked thoroughly their way, he found that they adhered to the textual proofs mentioned in Al-Quran and As-Sunnah, and especially the famous hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they adhered to the mental proofs, they adhered to the adhered to the consensus of the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. When he saw that they are adhering to that, this is why he called them Fuqaha al-Milla, the scholars of Islam. كما تلاحظون هذه العبارة تبين على ايش اعتمد الامام ابو حنيفه وصاحباه في اصول الدين. As you notice, this statement clarifies what are the proofs, what are the matters that al-imam abu hanifa and his two students considered them to be proofs on the level of the creed. الشيء الأول القرآن. The first thing mentioned here, القرآن. Of course, the Quranic texts are proofs on the level of the creed. الشيء الثاني السنة المشهورة يعني الحديث المشهور لأن أبا حنيفة وصاحبيه قالوا في أمور العقيدة العقيدة لا تبنى العقيدة لا يكتفى فيها بالظن لا بد في العقيدة من القطع والجزم والقطع والجزم لا يبنى إلا على شيء يقيني والحديث لا بد أن يكون مشهورا أو أعلى مرتبة من المشهور حتى يفيد القطع، لأنه إذا كان دون ذلك أفاد الظن لا القطع. لذلك قالوا نحتج في أمور العقيدة بالقرآن وبالسنة المشهورة، ما قالوا بأي حديث، إنما بالحديث الذي بلغ درجة المشهور بحيث تقوى حتى وصل إلى حد يقطع فيه بصحة ما جاء في هذا الحديث، لا يكتفى فيه بغلبة الظن. Now on the level of as-sunnah, Imam Abu Hanifa and his two students did not consider any hadith judged as sahih to be a proof on the level of the creed. So be careful. We are talking about the creed, not about the rules. On the level of the creed, they did not rely on any hadith which is judged to be sahih. Rather, they relied only on these hadiths that reached the level of being famous sahih hadith. Why is that? Because when the hadith is not narrated from different routes, is not narrated in a way that it is that it is supported by different issues, this hadith, until it reaches the level of certainty, so this hadith does not reach the level of certainty, then it is not enough to rely on it. What does that mean? Let me try to say it in other ways. In the level of the creed, it is not enough for one to be believe that most likely this issue is like this or like that. On the level of the creed, there is a necessity for one to be definitive, yani certain about the issues. One cannot say, well, most likely paradise exists. One cannot say most likely hellfire exists. One cannot say most likely Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet. One cannot say most likely Allah is attributed with power, with knowledge. One has to be definite about these issues. One has to be certain about these issues. Now, to be certain about these issues, you need to have proofs that are also certain, that reach the level of certainty. If the hadith is narrated from the route of one person, even if this person is an upright, trustworthy person, there is still this possibility that this person committed a mistake. He forgot, isn't it? So, if a hadith is narrated through one way only, through one person only, this narration does not give the hadith, does not elevate the hadith to the level of certainty. Yes, on the level of the rules, we need to rely on it. We cannot say this hadith is narrated from the route of one person, so we don't want to go according to it. We cannot say that. But on the level of the creed, just like when you come to the judge, a person comes to the judge, two people, trustworthy, upright people, come to the judge, they testify, the judge gives a judgment according to their testification. Can't they be wrong?
Yes.
Isn't there the possibility that they are wrong? Yes, it exists there. But because most likely they are not wrong, this would be enough on the level of the rules, like for the judge to give a verdict. Likewise, on the level of the rules, how to make wudu, how to pray, how to fast, etc. But when you get to the level of the creed, you cannot build your creed on something which is not certain. Because when you talk about the creed, you need their certainty. You need certainty in that area. This is why Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and his students, may Allah reward them greatly, said, in the area of the creed, it is not enough to rely on a hadith which is sahih but did not reach the level of being famous hadith. Because as long as this hadith did not reach this level of being famous hadith, there is a possibility for the narrator to commit a mistake in narrating this hadith. We cannot rely in the level of the creed on something which is not certain. This is why they said, on the level of the creed, we need a hadith that is mashhur. When the hadith gets to the level of mashhur, it means this hadith is supported by different narrations, different issues that elevates this hadith to the point of certainty. Then there is no doubt about it. Then we can rely on it in the matters of the creed. Is this clear? Is it clear? Mashhur, famous, which means mashhur in Arabic, which means famous. If you want literal translation, it means famous. So, a sahih, famous hadith, of course. Is it clear? This is a wise way. This is a wise way how the scholars of Islam tackled this matter. This is a wise way to tackle it. الشيء الثالث الذي اعتمدوا عليه كدليل في أمور العقيدة البراهين العقلية. The third matter which they relied upon it as a proof in the matters of the belief is the mental proofs. لأن الله تعالى في القرآن بيّن أن الحكم العقلي السليم صحيح. This is so because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in Al-Quran clarified that the mental proof is reliable. The correct mental proof, of course, is reliable. الشيء الرابع هو الإجماع. The fourth matter is the consensus. لأن الله تعالى بيّن في القرآن أن الأمة لا تجمع على باطل. This is so because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it clear in Al-Quran that the Muslims, the scholars of Islam, cannot agree together, the mujtahids cannot agree together on something which is wrong. Whenever the mujtahids, the high scholars of the nation, agree on something, then this has to be right. They cannot agree on something wrong. During the time of the companions, the followers of the companions, the followers of the followers, up till nowadays. But here, let me draw your attention. When we say scholars, we mean true scholars. And not any scholar, we are talking about mujtahids, those who reached the level of ijtihad, like Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmad, Al-Tabari, Ibn al-Munzir, like Al-Sha'bi, like these people. We do not mean anyone who learned a little bit or a lot without reaching this level. And to be more clear and to clarify this issue more, let's say you all know, I think you all heard about An-Nawawi, didn't you? Al-Imam An-Nawawi. He's very famous. He was a scholar, well knowledgeable in the level of tafsir, the hadith, the language, al-fiqh, etc. But he did not reach the level of ijtihad. So we are talking even about scholars who have a rank higher than people like An-Nawawi. So nowadays, such scholars, you do not find them easily at all. So we are not talking about anyone. We are talking about the scholars who reached this level. Those ones, if they agree together, and maybe sometimes you wouldn't find except one or two or three in the whole Islamic countries who reached this level of knowledge. So these people, if they agree together on something, it has to be right, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told us that in Al-Quran. This is why the scholars, sometimes they say, the judgment about this case is such and such. The proof of that is that the companions agreed on that. They consider this enough. Because at any time, if the mujtahids agree together on something, then it has to be correct. But again, I'm saying the mujtahids who reached this high level of knowledge. Inshallah, we'll talk about this more later, inshallah ta'ala. إذن على هذا اعتمد أبو حنيفة وأصحابه في العقيدة. So these are the proofs that Imam Abu Hanifa and his students relied upon them in the matter of the creed.
وهؤلاء الثلاثة من السلف لأن أبا حنيفة توفي سنة 150 ثم توفي صاحباه أبو يوسف ومحمد بن الحسن بعد نحو 30 سنة من وفاة أبي حنيفة.
هؤلاء الثلاثة من السلف يعني من القرون التي مدحها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. These three scholars are among as-salaf, which means they are among the people who lived in the first 300 years. And these people who lived in the first 300 years, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام praised them. They have a special criterion, a special a special merit over those who came after them. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and his two students are among them, because Abu Hanifa died at the year 150. His two students died after 30 years, around 30 years after him. So all of them, those three, they lived during the first 300 years. Hatta inna al-Imam Abu Hanifa ra'a ba'd as-sahaba. Even al-Imam Abu Hanifa saw, he met some of the companions. Although he didn't learn from them, he didn't hear, he didn't learn from them, but he met them. He met them. Radiyallahu anhu.
وَالسَّلَفُ أَهْلُ الْقُرُونِ الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ ذَكَرَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِقَوْلِهِ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ رواه البخاري.
خير الناس قرني يعني الذين يعيشون في المئة سنة التي أنا فيها ثم الذين يلونهم المئة الثانية ثم المئة الثالثة. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned in his hadith, as al-Bukhari narrated and others, that the best people among this nation are those who live in the first 100 years. Then after them, those who live in the second 100 years. Then after them, those who live in the third 100 years.
وَأَبُو جَعْفَرٍ لَمْ يَلْقَ أَبَا حَنِيفَةَ وَلَا صَاحِبَيْهِ لَكِنْ وَصَلَ إِلَيْهِ عِلْمُهُمْ بِوَاسِطَةِ الطَّرِيقِ الصَّحِيحِ.
أما أبو جعفر الطحاوي فما لقي الإمام أبا حنيفة ولا صاحبيه لكن أخذ العلم ممن أخذ عنهم. أبو جعفر الطحاوي did not meet الإمام أبو حنيفة nor his two students, but he received the knowledge through a chain that reaches these three scholars.
قال المؤلف نقول في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله إن الله واحد لا شريك له. The author said, it's on page 10 in the English copy, number 1. Guided by Allah, we believe and say about the tawheed of Allah, certainly Allah is one without a partner to him. الشرح ابتدأ أبو جعفر رحمه الله بالتوحيد لأنه أول واجب على المكلف وإليه دعت الأنبياء والرسل وبه نزلت الكتب السماوية. قال الله تعالى وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون.
كل الأنبياء ابتدأ أبو جعفر أول ما ابتدأ كلامه بذكر توحيد الله. لماذا؟ لأن هذا ما دعا إليه كل أنبياء الله. بهذا جاءت الأنبياء، بهذا نزلت الكتب السماوية. أبو جعفر الطحاوي started by talking about التوحيد, the oneness of Allah. Why? Because this is what all the prophets called the people to believe in. All the prophets called the people to believe in the oneness of God. There is no God but Allah. Starting by Adam alayhi salam and ending by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ أَوَّلْ وَاجِبْ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفِ. أعظم واجب. It is the most important obligation that one has to fulfill, that the accountable person has to fulfill, which is to believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the proper belief that Allah is one and there is no God but Allah. لذلك سماه الإمام أبو حنيفة الفقه الأكبر. This is why الإمام أبو حنيفة called the knowledge of توحيد الفقه الأكبر, the great knowledge. This is why he called it الفقه الأكبر, the great knowledge, because this is the most important thing for one to know. To know that there is no God but Allah تبارك وتعالى.
وفي حديث البخاري فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه توحيده تعالى.
النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عندما أرسل معاذ بن جبل إلى اليمن قال له إنك ستقدم على قوم من أهل الكتاب ليسوا مسلمين, فليكن أول شيء, فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه توحيده تعالى. أول شيء تدعوهم إليه ليكن توحيد الله, لأن هذا هو أهم الواجبات. When the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام sent معاذ بن جبل to the area of Yemen, he told him that you are going to meet people who are not Muslims, Christians and Jews there. So let the first thing that you call them to believe in is to believe in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first thing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told him, call them, the first thing, to believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that there is no God but Allah azza wa jalla. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال فإذا عرفوا ذلك, إذا آمنوا فأخبرهم أن الله فرض عليهم خمس صلوات في اليوم والليلة. Then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام proceeded telling Muaz, if they believe in that, then tell them that Allah made an obligation upon them to pray five times each day and night. So first thing to believe properly in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that there is no God but Allah azza wa jalla, la ilaha illallah. After believing in that comes praying, paying zakah, fasting Ramadan, etc. As it is clarified in Al-Quran and in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وَقَوْلُهُ مُعْتَقِدِينَ فيه نفي للنفاق وتحقيق للإيمان, لأن النفاق يجتمع مع الاعتراف اللفظي لكن لا يكون مقترنا بالاعتراف القلبي على وجه الجزم.
أيوة. إذا لاحظتم كلام الطحاوي عالي, قوي فيه عالي, كل كلمة وضعها في هذه العقيدة لمعنى. إيش قال؟ نقول بتوفيق الله, نقول في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله. ما قال نقول بس, قال نقول معتقدين. ليش قال نقول معتقدين؟ للجمع بين القول باللسان والاعتقاد بالقلب, لأن القول باللسان وحده من غير الاعتقاد بالقلب لا يكفي للنجاة يوم القيامة. عندنا نحن أمامنا إذا واحد نطق بالشهادتين نحكم عليه بأيش؟ بالإسلام. لكن إذا كان في قلبه لا يعتقد بالشهادتين عند الله, هل يكون مسلما؟ لا يكون مسلما ولو قال بلسانه, لأنه لم يجمع مع النطق باللسان الاعتقاد بالقلب. As you notice, الإمام الطحاوي says, guided by Allah, we believe and say about the tawheed of Allah. So he did not say, we say. He said, we believe and say. Why? Because just saying with the tongue, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, without believing in that in the heart, does not make the person safe on the day of judgment. to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, such a person would not be a Muslim. For us, we consider such person a Muslim. If we hear someone that we don't know, anyone, if we hear him saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, what do we judge him? A Muslim. But if this person is saying this statement without believing in it in his heart, then truly, he is not a Muslim. To Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is not a Muslim. That's why At-Tahawi said, we believe and say, to make it clear that just saying without believing does not benefit the person and is not considered a believer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
وفيه بيان أن القول وحده لا يكفي عند الله بدون اعتقاد فمن نطق بالشهادتين ولم يدعن في نفسه بمعناهما فهو عندنا مسلم أما عند الله فليس بمسلم.
كما قلنا, as we said, this is just what we said. نعم.
التوفيق خلق قدرة الطاعة ويقابله الخذلان.
طيب عندما نقول, عندما يقول الطحاوي, نقول في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله. ايش معنى التوفيق؟ التوفيق معناه خلق قدرة الطاعة في العبد. خلق قدرة الطاعة في العبد, هذا هو التوفيق. وخلق قدرة المعصية في العبد, هذا هو الخذلان. من خلق الله تعالى فيه قدرة الطاعة وأطاع الله, من أطاع الله بالقدرة التي خلقها الله فيه فهذا موفق, ومن عصى الله بالقدرة التي خلقها الله فيه فهذا مخذول. فالتوفيق خلق قدرة الطاعة في العبد, والخذلان خلق قدرة المعصية في العبد. وهذه القدرة التي يعصي, فهذه القدرة التي يعصي بها العبد مخلوقة لله, والقدرة التي يطيع بها العبد مخلوقة لله. الطاعة التي يفعلها العبد بخلق الله, والمعصية التي يفعلها العبد بخلق الله تبارك وتعالى. الله يوفق من يشاء ويخذل من يشاء, فالأمور كلها بيده سبحانه. When At-Tahawi said, by the guidance of Allah, what does that mean? He means by that, that we say the proper thing with the power that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created in us to do the obedience. So when we do, when one does the obedience, one does it with a power that Allah creates it in this slave, in this person. Likewise, when one does a sin, one does it also with a power that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala creates it in this person. When one does a good deed, he is guided. When one does a bad deed, he is misguided. The one who creates guidance in the person is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the one who creates misguidance in the person is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So whatever one does it with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who creates it. The slave, the person, acquires the deed and does not create it. the one who creates is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So everything that happens in this universe happens with the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Whether it is guidance, whether it is a good deed or a bad deed, obedience or disobedience.
والواحد في حق الله تعالى فسر بأنه الذي لا شريك له في ذاته ولا في صفاته ولا في أفعاله.
إذا أطلق الواحد على الله فليس المراد به العدد. منقول هذا شخص واحد ومثله أشخاص كثيرون. العدد يقبل الزيادة، يقبل النقصان، يقبل القسمة. أما إذا قلنا عن الله واحد فالمعنى الذي لا شبيه له ولا مثيل. هكذا قال الإمام أبو حنيفة رضي الله عنه: والله واحد لا من طريق العدد، ولكن من طريق أنه لا شبيه له ولا مثيل. When we say about Allah تبارك وتعالى that He is one, this term one, when attributed to Allah, does not refer to a number, because numbers accept addition, subtraction, division, and this is not applied to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When we say one about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or in Arabic we say Al-Wahid, we do not refer to a number. Just as Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said, والله واحد لا من طريق العدد ولكن من طريق أنه لا شريك له ولا مثيل. Which means, when we say about Allah that He is Al-Wahid, we do not refer here to a number. Rather, Al-Wahid in reference to Allah means the one that does not resemble anyone else and does not have a partner. This is what Al-Wahid means when referring to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You say this is one person and there are many people like him. You say this is one apple and there is many apples like this apple. You say you are referring here to a number. You have one person, you add another person to him. Now you have how many people? Two. You have an apple and you cut it in half, and now you have two halves. Why? Because when you say one about the apple, the person, etc., you are referring to a number. But when we say about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He is one, we mean He does not have a partner and no one is similar to Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
أما الأحد فمعناه الذي لا ينقسم لأنه ليس جسما.
كذلك إذا قلنا عن الله الأحد لا يراد به هنا العدد، إنما الأحد إذا أطلق على الله معناه الذي لا يقبل القسمة، لا يقبل الانقسام، لأنه ليس جسما. الذي يقبل الانقسام هو الجسم، والله خالق الأجسام فليس جسما فلا يقبل الانقسام، لأن خالق الأشياء لا يشبهها. Likewise, when we say about Allah Al-Ahad, قل هو الله أحد. When we say about Allah Al-Ahad, we are not referring here to a number. Al-Ahad, when is used to refer to Allah تبارك وتعالى, does not mean a number. Rather, it means the one that does not accept to be divided, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not a body. Only bodies accept to be divided. This is a table, it's a body. Mentally, even if you don't cut it in two, but mentally it accepts to be divided in two. We are bodies, And it, we accept to be divided in 2, in 4, in 8, etc. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who created all the bodies, and He does not resemble any of His creation. So He is not a body, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not resemble any of the bodies, whether light bodies or thick bodies. Allah does not resemble the sun, does not resemble the moon, does not resemble the human being, does not resemble the soul, does not resemble the fire, does not resemble the air, does not resemble the water. Allah does not resemble anything. Whatever you imagine in your mind, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is different than that. Because anything that you imagine it in your mind is created. And the Creator does not resemble the Creator, the creation, by any means.
ثم إن المتكلمين حصروا العالم في الجوهر والعرض.
طيب إذا قلنا إن الله تبارك وتعالى ليس جسما ولا يشبه العالم بأي وجه من الوجوه، إيش هو العالم؟ علماء التوحيد قالوا العالم شيئان لا يخرج عن شيئين أبدا، جوهر وعرض. الجوهر هو ما يقوم بذاته، العرض هو ما يقوم بالجوهر. فالعالم لا يخرج عن هذين الشيئين، جوهر وعرض. ما يقوم بذاته جوهر، ما يقوم بغيره هو العرض. ما يقوم بذاته مثل الأجسام، ما يقوم بغيره مثل الألوان، مثل الحركة، مثل السكون، مثل الرائحة. هذه أشياء لا تقوم بنفسها. يعني في شيء مرة أنت لا تستطيع أن تتصور حركة عم تمشي لوحدة قدامك، لابد من جسم يتحرك، لابد من جوهر تقوم به الحركة، لأن الحركة عرض. العالم لا يخرج عن هذا، إما جوهر وإما عرض. Now, when we say Allah does not resemble the creation, what does creation mean? All the universe is of two types, two things, either جوهر or عرض. جوهر means something that stands by itself, like the body. عرض means something that stands by other than itself. It does not stand by itself. It stands by other than itself. For example, like movement. Movement does not stand by itself. It needs a body which is attributed with movement. Like color, movement. عرض. عرض means attribute. This is what it means. So all the universe is either jawhar, like the bodies are composed of jawhars, particles, or attributes. When we say jawhar, it's something that stands by itself, like the body. Arad, it means an attribute. It does not stand by itself, like the color. If you see, did you ever see, you cannot imagine, you cannot conceive a movement by itself without a body which is moving. So the movement is an attribute that does not stand by itself, it stands by other than itself, which is the body. This is the universe is composed of those two types only. The attributes are around 30 something attributes. And the bodies are composed of particles. These particles are composed of other particles. And you keep going until you reach the smallest particle, which does not accept mentally to be divided. This is called in Arabic Al-Jawhar Al-Fard. Originally, it was called in English the atom. Actually, now when they talk about atoms, they talk about divided particles. But originally, the term atom means the particle that does not accept to be divided. Linguistically, this is what it means. In Arabic, they call it Al-Jawhar Al-Fard. Al-Jawhar Al-Fard, the particle that does not accept to be divided. All the bodies are composed of these particles. We cannot see them. They are very small. We cannot see them alone. We cannot see this particle alone. Al-Jawhar Al-Fard. We see it with other particles, because Allah did not enable us to see them alone. But the whole universe is composed of these two categories, either Jawhar or Arad, which means the attributes. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not resemble nor bodies nor the attributes of the universe. Nor Jawhar, neither Jawhar nor Arad. Allah does not resemble anything. The self of Allah does not resemble the selves of the creation, and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal do not resemble the attributes of the creation. Subhanallah. Let us stop here. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Ahad indahu su'al. Do you have any questions? Faddal Abu Salah. Sahih. Sahih. Ma bi'assir. Hai ziyadat idah. Lama qulna al-alam naw'an, ulima annahu mutahayyiz. Bas sahih hadhal kalam. هذا تعريف التوفيق. التوفيق خلق قدرة الطاعة. وفيك. بعض ما ذكرناه نعم وبعضه لا. ما شاء الله. Okay. No questions. تفضل. لا، الجسم هو ما تألف من مؤلف من جواهر، أما الجواهر الفرد لا يقال عنه جسم. لا شك له حيز، له حجم، وإلا له حجم. This particle, which is called الجواهر الفرد, has a volume. It is a very small volume. Because it does not accept to be divided. It has a volume, and out of these particles the bodies are composed. I don't want to go more into this subject. Later, inshallah. We said step by step, mahek. So don't go farther now about this issue. Let's stop here.
Naam. You mentioned that most of the people who call themselves Muslim, they would be following the way of the Sunnah.
Correct.
But nowadays, a lot of people have not learned this chapter on apostasy, and there's a lot of blasphemy, for example, in the media. And a lot of Muslims, they believe or they say statements of kufr, and they have no idea that they said kufr or they believe them.
Yeah.
So how do we reconcile but
this? Those people like that you say lot of Muslims, yeah, they are still a minority compared to the majority of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. These people are a minority. Maybe you are talking, yani, maybe you are talking about, look, wherever you look around the world, you will find that most of the Muslims believe that Allah is one. Most of them believe that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is, well, let's say all the Muslims, most of those who call themselves Muslims, they believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is one. Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is the Prophet of Allah. He is the last Prophet. They believe that Allah does not resemble the creation. They believe that Allah azza wa jal is attributed with power, knowledge, other attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. They believe that all what Prophet Muhammad came with is true. They believe that Al-Quran is truthful. They believe that what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said is truthful. They do not accept to say haram about anything that they know that the Prophet judged it as halal. They do not accept to say halal about anything that they know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam judged it as haram. They do not accept to mock Allah. They do not accept to mock the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They do not accept to mock the religion. They do not accept to mock Al-Ka'bah. They do not accept to mock the prayers. They do not accept to mock Al-Zakah or Al-Siyam. They do not accept to mock the rules of the religion. They do not accept to deviate the rules of the religion. So most of those who say about themselves that they are Muslims, this is what they believe and this is what they go by. So although there is some people who claim to be Muslims, but truly they are not. Because either they mock Allah, they mock the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or they claim that there is a need to change the rules of the religion with which the Prophet came, or because they claim that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is not the last Prophet, for one reason or another like this, but always these people are a minority compared to the majority of the Muslims. Wherever you look, you will find, if you look in one area, small area, you might find many people who claim to be Muslims while truly they are not. But if you look in general, always the majority still follow the belief of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. بلى. هل معنى ذلك انه اليس ولو هلا بنجي شي معنى والاستطاعه مقارنه للفعل ما استطاعه المخلوقه مقارنه للفعل نجي معنى لا يعني يعني لا يحب له الكفر لا يريد ذلك نعم تفضل قال له إنك ستقدم على قوم من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه توحيده تعالى فإذا عرفوا ذلك فأخبرهم أن الله فرض عليهم 5 صلوات في اليوم والليلة فإذا صلوها فأخبرهم أن الله فرض عليهم زكاة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم وتدفع إلى فقرائهم إلى آخر الحديث. هذا في صحيح البخاري. يا جواهر ها سوري what is عمل deed, it means in English you say a deed or a doing. It depends on the case. Okay. A mujtahid, what does a mujtahid? When we say a mujtahid, what do we mean by that? We mean a Muslim who is upright, trustworthy. That is, he avoids all enormous sins and he does not insist on doing small sins. He memorizes by heart all the verses in Al-Quran that pertains to judgments, to rulings. He knows all the hadiths of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that pertain to ruling with the chain of narrators. Also, he knows the situation of the people who are in this chain of narrators, because he needs to judge the hadith of being sahih or not. How does he know that? Except through checking the chain of narrators. So he needs to know that. He needs to know what are the cases on which all the scholars agreed. What are the cases on which there is a consensus among the nation? And what are the cases about which there is difference in opinions among the scholars of Islam? They need to know the Arabic language well, as it was spoken at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They need to know what is al-mutlaq and what is al-muqayyad. That is, what is the verse, what are the verses that are mentioned without any restriction? And when a statement is considered without restriction, and when is it considered with restriction, whether in the verses of Al-Quran or in the hadith? They need to know al-am min al and al-khas. What statement is considered a general one, and what statement is considered a specific one in Al-Quran and the hadith? When it is considered general and when it is considered specific. They need to know what is abrogated, mansukh, and what is abrogating among the verses and the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's not just studying few years in Al-Azhar, let's say, or in this university, or with that sheikh, or even studying 10 years or 20 years. It's not just that. One needs to acquire all this knowledge all together, and on top of that, one needs to have a sharp mind to be able to use all this knowledge to deduce the judgment. And where do you find people like that? I know nowadays it is easy. One day I was in a conference. Ajayad was also in that conference. And a person was there. He was an ignorant person. He was wearing the clothes that usually scholars wear. So he started his speech by saying, he looked at the people sitting and he said, my colleague scholars. I want to start laughing. Yani, I stopped myself from laughing. It's not easy to say a scholar about someone. So how about a mujtahid? Well, it's not. Nowadays there are people who trick the Muslims by claiming that they are scholars while truly they are not. And they claim to be mujtahids also. And they are not considered students seeking the knowledge, because they don't seek the knowledge of the religion. So one needs to be careful nowadays. What I suggest, if someone talks about the matters of the religion, if he says something, if you want to be more sure, if you want about him or her, then you ask the person, who said that among the four imams? Where is that mentioned? Because if you go otherwise, he might trick you. Just like this, you know. If he says, well, this is mentioned by so and so in such and such book, you can go back and check. If he says, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said that in this book, you can go back and check it. If he tells you, well, I don't go according to the four scholars, they lived long time ago, now we are in a different era, we don't need to go back to what they said, we need to come up now with a new ijtihad or whatever, if you hear this person going saying this, or if he doesn't know, then you know that he's saying things just like that, without having a solid base. It's not everyone is considered a mujtahid. It's not an easy matter. And on top of all of that, as I said, he needs to have a sharp mind. Real sharp mind. Subhanallah. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa radiyallahu anhu, he stayed 40 years praying as-subh with the same wudu of al-isha. He didn't sleep at night. 40 years. 40 years. Al-Imam Ahmad, he used to pray. I'm not saying this is a condition to be a mujtahid, but when one acquires really the knowledge of the religion and he really reached that level, you'll find that his heart, he has a very soft heart attached to the matters of to the hereafter. Imam Ahmad used to pray every day 400 rak'ahs other than the five obligatory prayers. 400 rak'ahs every day. Then after he was imprisoned and he was beaten, he became weak. After that, he prayed every day 200 rak'ahs. After he became weak, he prayed every day 200 rak'ahs. And someone comes nowadays and he says, well, I'm a man like Abu Hanifa was a man. So, yeah, I have the books of As-Sunnah in my hands. I have Al-Quran in my hand. I can make ijtihad like Abu Hanifa made ijtihad. Allah. Yes, if we understand what this imam said, and if we understand what they said properly, one of their schools, if we follow one of these schools properly, understand very well and spread it, we would be doing a very good job. very, very good job. If we get to that point. Naam, tafadhal. Min al-hijra. Min al-hijra. When we say the first 300 years that the Prophet mentioned, the people of the first 300 years, we mean starting by the immigration of the Prophet. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Naam, tafadhal ya Waleed. مشهور صحيح يعني إذا كان صحيح مشهور لا لا not necessarily صحيح بيكون صحيح والمشهور بيكون مشهور بس إذا كان الحديث إذا كان الحديث صحيحا مشهورا يكون حجة في العقيدة مش الحال إذا كان صحيحا إذا اجتمعت فيه الصفة تفضل حديث No, these are These are not the same. Hadith al-Nuzul is really mashhur. It is hadith that reached the level of mashhur. This is why no one among the scholars said about it that it's not reliable or it's not sahih or it is sahih mashhur. As for hadith al-Jariya, no, there is a difference in opinions about it. It is not mashhur. It's narrated from the route of one person. So, when we say mashhur, we mean a hadith that has certain criteria. We will talk about that, inshallah. Just I don't want to go now. As I said, this is a first step. We will get back to this book another time and a third time, inshallah. Every time we'll go farther, inshallah. Habib Ahli, rahmatullahi alayhi. Ana la adkhulu fiha. Rahmatullahi alayhi. Tafadhal. One moment. يا حاج نحن واحد مثلي مرتبته لهون كيف بده يحكم على اللي مرتبته هون واحد مثلي بيتضبضب بالزاوية أنجأ يلحق بلا ما هلا نحكي كلام ما تفضل تفضل يا جوهد حبيبي You mean that are certain hadith meant that the Arabic terms Okay. Okay. And do they know the meanings of these words or they are not enough skillful in the language and they think that these statements mean something else while really yani they think that these statements express properly the proper belief while really these statements are not the proper statements to use. Is it this case or is it the case when they know that these statements are wrong. This is not the place to use them, but they want to use them. No. Okay, this is that's what I was saying. The scholars of Islam said, among them is Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and many who came after him. They said, if there is a term used in the Arabic text in Al-Quran or the Hadith referring to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you cannot always come up with a translation to this term to another language and attribute it to Allah Azza wa Jal. For example, the term yad in Arabic it has 14 different meanings. Yeah, the term yad, it can mean this hand, this body, it can mean power, it can mean endowment, it can mean other things, different, 14 different meanings in Arabic. So if this term is attributed to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and you do not know exactly the meaning of this term in this context, how can you translate it to another language? You cannot use the term English hand, because the term hand in English does not have the same 14 meanings that the term yad has in Arabic. So you cannot do that because in the Arabic language, although the term yad means this body, for example, but there are ways of speech in Arabic that when they are used, the one who knows the Arabic language immediately knows that here yad does not refer to this body. It refers to another meaning. These way of speeches do not exist exactly in other languages. How can you then translate literally terms like that? You don't do that. So this is why it does not work. Now, if someone believes that in the English language the term, a certain term, let's say hand, has the same meanings that the term yad has, and this is why he uses it in reference to Allah, he is committing a mistake there, but this is not blasphemy, because he does not mean to attribute a bodily attribute to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he does not know that it is wrong to express it this way. He thinks that the English language carries the same meaning that the Arabic language carries in reference to this statement. In this case, we advise this person not to do that. We clarify it for him and tell him, don't do it. Don't go this way. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said that this is prohibited. Al-Ghazali said that this is prohibited. So and so said, to make it clear. Barakallahu feekum. Let's say Tahleel 3 times. La ilaha illallah. طيب بالنسبة للحديث الله يبارك فيكم إنك ستقدم أنا اللي قلت إنك ستقدم على قوم من أهل الكتاب راجعوا إذا بتريدوا بس للتأكد إنه هيك التشكيل بالكلمة بارك الله فيكم